Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Listen now to the word of God. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now he came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. Has anyone here been on a jury or testified in a trial? Yeah, some people have. Yeah, these things come to mind more now that I have a daughter who passed the bar and is now going to be a lawyer, I guess, after she says an oath. They have an oath yet to say. But these kinds of things, you know, testifying to the truth, just kind of circled in my mind because she was already a part of a great big lawsuit in Delaware she had to fly to, where they won $24 million settlement for a patent infringement. So these are big deals, you know, if you tell the truth and if they find that it is the truth. Because both were claiming that they had created this thing that they created. It was a biotechnology creation first. And somehow the jury got to the truth. So if you do ever go on a trial and have to be a witness or you're in a jury, you know that the person testifying goes through a swearing in where they ask if you will speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, they say. And in California, it is stated a bit differently. Oaths can vary from state to state, and so our California oath goes like this. You do solemnly state that the testimony you may give in the case now pending before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Then you say, "I do." So the name God is invoked in the California oath, I found, which, you know, was kind of surprising to me because we are in a state that is so determined to not offend any faiths or those with no faith, and they still have "so help you God" in the swearing in for the court. So there is a general understanding of the gravitas of the word God. Using it here means that this is a very serious matter, and don't take this testimony lightly. Tell the truth. Now, Jesus came into this world to testify to the truth, he said. So what is the truth that he is talking about? And how does one belong to the truth? Well, there are 181 scriptures about truth in the Bible. So that shows how important it is to God. As followers of Christ, we are to walk in the truth, according to the third letter of John, chapter 1, verse 3. And we're to love the truth and believe the truth, according to 2 Thessalonians. And we're to speak the truth in love, according to Ephesians 4. Speak the truth in love. That should be our motto always. So in Ephesians 4:25, the Apostle Paul says, Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So the truth is, Jesus was not the kind of Messiah the Jews were expecting, and he wasn't interested in leading a rebellion against the Romans. He came to show what it was like to be a king of kings that was the king of truth, and what truthful living really looks like. And he was acknowledged, though, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's from a line in the Hallelujah course that we're going to study in Handel's Messiah. You may recognize that. It's originally found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It reads, "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So it seems right to think of Jesus as the King of Truth, doesn't it? He emphasized truth throughout his whole ministry, especially because some of the Jewish leaders at that time were liars, abusing their power as religious leaders. In Christian history, no ruling body, king or patriarch, is reviled more than the Jerusalem Sanhedrin, is what they were called. And here's a mosaic, actually, of Jesus being interrogated by them. And that's on a temple in Jerusalem. Sanhedrin is a Greek word for council. And Jewish legal councils were common throughout Judea during the time of Christ. The occupying Romans permitted the Jews a small degree of self-government, so they allowed the Sanhedrin to establish their own court of law. Every Judean town, regardless of size, had a Sanhedrin that consisted of a high priest and 22 respected holy men selected from other high priests and elders in the region. And these individuals judged both civil and religious matters. Now, the Jerusalem Sanhedrin included men from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And these were a combination of political and religious groups of the time. The Pharisees were the most religious, and the Sadducees were the most political. Now, the temple leadership and the Sanhedrin used deceit and treachery and violated their own rules and then intimidated Pilate to get rid of Jesus, who they believed was a charismatic Galilean troublemaker, threatening their power and the Roman Empire's power as well. Now, this isn't surprising because from the beginning of Christ's ministry, he was altering their interpretation of the ancient Jewish laws and usurping their power. The truths that Jesus declared threatened the power of both the Romans and the Sanhedrin. He threatened their power by teaching and preaching that God's love overrides all laws. And he taught that unconditional love, compassion for the poor, inclusivity, and empathy were the truths to abide by above and beyond the rules of the Jewish laws and their cultural traditions. Jesus taught a new way of looking at all the laws and a new way of being. Now, Jesus broke down the societal barriers as soon as he launched his ministry. He was baptized by a prophet who predicted the Messiah was coming soon. And now, baptism was not a Jewish tradition, but daily immersion to purify oneself in water was a practice of the Jewish sect called the Essenes. Some biblical history scholars believe that John the Baptist was part of the Essenes, who chose to live in poverty, away from the main society. And John was viewed as a questionable character in the eyes of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But he became famous as a Jewish itinerant preacher in the early first century AD. And still now, John is revered as a major religious figure, not just in Christianity, but he's also revered in Islam and in the Baha'i faith. Jesus showed humility by allowing John to baptize him, and he gave credibility to John's prophetic message that the Messiah was coming. Now, Jesus also honored and liberated both women and men, no matter what their social status was, too. He forgave sinners. He touched the untouchables. And he interpreted the ancient laws so that they were people-oriented rather than rule-oriented. As it is recorded in Matthew 5, it was clear by his first sermon that he gave that Jesus was a different kind of Jewish religious leader. He started out by proclaiming people who were suffering as being blessed, rather than bringing the suffering on themselves by sinning, which was the traditional Jewish view of someone who was suffering. They would say, well, he must have sinned if he's suffering. But Jesus threw that away. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he also called blessed those who are pure in heart. Another way of saying those who seek the truth and are themselves truthful. He emphasized that the laws were made for humankind and not humankind made for the laws. And the Ten Commandments and the other ancient laws, they were written to help humans be healthy and to live in harmony together in community. The command to rest and not work on the Sabbath had the intention of helping people balance their lives. Many of the food prohibitions kept the people healthier because, for example, pork could make them very sick if it wasn't properly cured, since there was no refrigeration. But Jesus went much further than the food prohibitions and Sabbath rest. He addressed the way the people were warmongering, and he promoted peace and compassion instead. Listen to his words from Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And then in Matthew 7, Jesus sums up the intent of all the laws with this universal law. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets, he said. It is a Christian duty to live this universal law, to promote the truth, and to reveal falsehoods. Today in the United States, there is a war on truth. Factchecker.org is an organization that checks the facts of what are publicly said in statements or in speeches, mostly from politicians. But they checked both parties, Democrats and Republicans, to see how factual their words really are. They found that the average number of false statements that are publicly spoken from the White House in these past 6 months is 30 untruths per day. The number of lies coming from the central power of our government is having a huge effect on how our society understands the value of truth. Here are a few truths for you to know today that Jesus would want us to publicly be addressing for the well-being of his beloved people, and that includes all of you. During the past 2 weeks, 32 people died from E. coli, I think they think it is now. They were saying that it was salmonella, but now I saw they said E. coli was found in the romaine lettuce. 32 people died, which is tragic. So our national government, through the CDC, responded by calling for all the lettuce to be pulled from all the grocery store shelves. No matter how much profit that lettuce industry lost, it was worth it to prevent more lives from being lost, right? Of course. People's lives are more important than the lettuce industry. Also, during the last 2 weeks in the United States, 1,344 people died due to gun violence. 1,344. Our gun violence epidemic is 44 times more lethal than the E. coli contamination. Yet not even with all the mass shootings have we, as a government or as a nation, been inspired to call to have the AK-47s or other automatic guns pulled off of the shelves. I'm appalled and I'm curious. I'm a very curious person. So I decided to order one this week to see how easy it is to buy a hugely lethal weapon online. I just Googled purchase automatic rifle. Now many sites popped up, so I chose Atlantic Firearms. And after agreeing to some unverifiable terms and conditions, I could have received this automatic rifle that could shoot 40 bullets in one magazine, just as easy as I could buy dog food online. Except I don't have to check off terms and conditions for dog food. No wonder there have been over 300 mass shootings, which is defined as four or more people involved, so far in 2018. This year we have had almost one mass shooting per day. God help us. It is clear that people's lives are not as important as the NRA-sponsored gun industry. Another truth, 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. 1 in 6 children. And I'm thankful we are very aware of that and provide free breakfast and the snacks to the Boys and Girls Club. But $13 billion of our tax money is usually spent on food, including distribution and agriculture. Compare that to $874 billion in military spending that does not include veterans' benefits. $13 billion for food compared to $874 billion for military weapons. You can go on a website that breaks down how your tax money is used and how all the federal funds are budgeted. A very small part of our military budget goes to our soldiers, which my son can testify to. He doesn't feel like he's making near enough in Alabama as an instructor for the Coast Guard helicopter. The majority goes to the purchase of development, testing, and upgrading our weapons. Defense contractors are always pushing for more billions in the budget. And when I lived in Washington, D.C., I knew some of these people who worked for the defense contractors, and they made a lot of money lobbying our government to get billions and billions more for military spending. So this chart shows in navy blue in 2015 how much of our budget was military spending, and it's the navy blue. It's the biggest, 54% is military spending. And that was 2015. This year, $300 billion more was spent on the military budget than in 2015. $300 billion more. Another truth that Jesus would want us to address for the benefit of humankind is another epidemic. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lives. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, in 8 out of 10 cases of rape, the victim knew the perpetrator. Rape is the most underreported crime. 70% of sexual assaults are never reported to the police. 70%. For child sexual abuse, the stats are worse. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they turn 18 in this country. Only 10% of perpetrators of child sexual abuse are strangers to the child. Only 10%. So let's compare some statistics. 1 in 5 women will be raped at some point in their lives. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer. So why are we not putting as much money into finding a cure for rapists as we do towards prevention and research on breast cancer? The prevalence of child sexual abuse and rape is a sign that our society is very sick, and these attacks on the vulnerable make our society even sicker. The psychological and physical damage from child abuse and rape increases the chance of developing chronic diseases. And I got a call from Columbia University this week asking me about this connection. And there is a big connection between feeling the trauma that happens from being sexually assaulted and then the effect it has on your physical body and your body's ability to fight chronic illnesses. It traumatizes your immune system, making you more vulnerable to chronic illnesses. And so the psychological and physical damage does increase the chance of developing chronic disease. It's all connected. And because of this link, NIH now recommends that chronic disease prevention services automatically be given to victims of sexual violence. And the last truth I will highlight today definitely affects us all. By 2050, 90% of all the coral reefs in the oceans will be dead. 90%. National Geographic reported that in 30 years, all the coral reefs could be gone. This is not a crazy prophecy. Coral reefs support the health of our whole world. They are quickly dying due to rising ocean temperatures and acidification, overfishing, pollution, coastal development, and agricultural runoff. You and I may not be alive in 2050, but our generation will be to blame for the loss of coral reefs and the loss of marine life that depends on them. The King of Truth wants us to be truthful and fight against national efforts to diminish the importance of these truths so that we can do something about them. For the truth to set us free, we must acknowledge the truth publicly and not ignore the impact of these facts on our lives. Guns, sexual abuse, hunger, rising ocean temperature, and the lack of a governmental sense of duty to speak the truth, all are important concerns that lead us to shout, "So help us, God." And then solemnly swear to tell these truths so others will know and be set free from the chains of lies. As we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, we can protect, guide, lift up, and support others because we all need the truth. The King of Truth shows us the way. Amen.